All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
We got a lot going on. We're wheeling and dealing. And I'm just finishing up the tweet. My name is Jihad Hartman. What's your name? Josh Wheeler? Yes, Josh, sir. What's your middle name?
Paul.
Paul. Are you named after someone, Paul?
I'm assuming just biblical.
Paul. Biblical? Yeah. Sure. Well, I mean, you're comparing yourself to a biblical figure. That's impressive.
Yeah.
What do we have today? I'm trying to type this out here. We got...
Star-studded Friday cast.
Have you heard of Major Garrett?
I have.
Yes, Major Garrett. Man, I should have finished this. And now, see, the reason why I didn't finish this is I get a text. Not a text, but I get a... phone call at work from Earl saying that he wants to come on, and I thought we were done with Earl. I really did. He's an individual who doesn't like the show. I could have swore the last time we talked to him that he swore us off, but he left a voicemail. I need to talk to you. And by the way, boom, I just put the tweet out. At Chad Hartman Show. A true professional would have finished that earlier, but we're trying to secure one more guest. Have you ever heard Earl on the show before, Josh?
I have not. This is my first time.
Yeah, I don't know if you're going to care for much because he doesn't care for me. And he's certainly allowed to have that opinion, but I don't know why he continues to call the show. So let's punch him up. Earl, would you tell me your last name this time? Would that be possible? Because was it like we're going to bring on a guy named Major Garrett, Shaletta Brundage, Matthew Collar, Jason DeRusha. I just know you as Earl. Would you share your last name?
It's McGuzzlekirk.
Excuse me?
McGuzzlekirk.
McGuzzlekirk. Earl?
Yeah.
McGuzzlekirk. Is there any story to that last name at all?
It's Dutch Scottish. That's about all I know. I've did the Life 360, the 23andMe, and it's Scottish Highlands, part Dutch.
I wouldn't think you're the type of guy who would do the 23andMe, Earl. They can get very invasive.
Cut the crap. Can I talk while I'm on the air here today?
Yeah, I guess. Go ahead, of course.
100 years that station's been on the air. Is that correct? You got 100 anniversary celebrations coming up?
Are you coming? October 21st, Chanhassen Dinner Theater. We'd love to have you there.
If they fire you today, I'll purchase a table. How about that?
I don't think that's going to happen. I really don't want to be fired either. I mean, isn't that a bit mean? Isn't that a bit over the top to say I should be fired today?
Point being is 100 years of a historical radio station that I hear every day, and I want to give it another shot. I want to listen so badly, and then I tune in, and you, every gal darn day, just the same crap, and I can't do it. I can't do it anymore. I couldn't do it before, and I tried it again, and I can't do it. What the hell is the matter with you?
Well, that is a good question. And I tell my therapist often, I'm not sure I can tell you what...
Typical.
Well, typical. What do you think is wrong with me?
Oh, if I had the answer to that, I'll start with your liberalism. Let's start there. I mean, that's is as obvious as the day is. The sun shining on a day.
Mm-hmm.
B, your attitude. You know, everybody's wrong. You're right. You know, that's not the CCO that I know, that I like.
Do you hear other shows on the station which you prefer?
Yeah, all of them other than you.
Mm. So is your normal routine to listen to Vanita and Adam and Jordana? Do you ever sample me? Or was it just a recent time where the radio was left on or what happened? And then you go back to Jason DeRusha, Henry Lake, the Twins, et cetera.
I listen to the Twins. I dabble. I don't commit. I avoid noon to three.
Well, it sounded like you were about to say you avoid nine to noon. Is that a show that you don't care for either?
Don't get me started. Oh, God. There's a lot of it, but I think you're the instigator. I think you're like the wedge that into the door that broke open the door to unabashed, rampant liberalism in this, not only at the station, but probably the state.
That'd be a lot of power if I had that. But you have heard me criticize Vice President Harris frequently, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, tough. Get real tough on her. Oh, yeah. Okay.
What did you think of President Trump the other day in the debate when he started talking
about...
What
did he lie about? Where?
Well, I'm not even... Okay.
Well, first of all...
Can I give you an example? Do you really think in Springfield, Ohio, that Haitian immigrants are capturing, kidnapping, and eating cats and dogs? You really think that's happening?
I got a cousin in Springfield who is missing a cat.
Okay. You know cats sometimes vanish, don't you?
This cat is as dedicated as an animal as I've ever seen.
What's the cat's name?
Look. I don't know. I don't give a two craps about the cat's name. All I know is the cat's gone, and it's disappeared. And if you want to get your talking points at the start of the day and say, okay, just say it's fake, that doesn't happen, I talk to real people. Who do you talk to?
Real people.
Major Garrett? Oh, yeah, he's objective. He's got the card and probably in the wallet saying I'm a member of the Democratic Party.
How about Shaletta? She's a real person, right?
What does she have to do with this?
Well, you're talking about people I talk to. I'm going to talk to Shaletta at 105.
Does she know people in Springfield like I do? Does she have a relative that's missing an animal?
You don't even know the cat's name. I don't even think you care about the cat. What do you think of that?
Well, personally, I don't care for cats, but that's beside the point, is that if somebody who has a cat and likes the cat disappears, what the hell is going on?
They're not cooking him for an appetizer. It's not happening.
I know people. It's true. That's all I need to know.
Of course you do.
And anyway, you know, Kamala was getting the questions ahead of time. She had the earring that acted as the speaker. And you'll cover for it until the day is long. And one day I'm going to turn into this radio station and somebody will be telling the truth.
What are you doing,
my friend?
What are you doing this weekend?
Working. You should look into it.
What do you do for a living again, Earl? I think you might have told me before, but I don't.
Well, I'm retired. I worked. I'm retired now. I worked as a school bus driver for a while.
Thank you. That's very nice.
I was in millwork, cabinetry. A man of a lot of different skills.
I could use a little carpentry work. My handyman is fairly busy. Is this a way where we could come together? Because I don't have much skill in that area. I'll admit, my man card in fixing things around the house is fairly low T.
Yeah, this is my shock face, too. Look, if I was still in the business is business. I don't care who I'm working for. I'd have done the job, but I'm retired. I moved on.
Earl, did you meet Josh, by the way, our fill-in producer today?
I apologize. I screamed at him when he answered the phone. I said, get me on the air. And I might have used a vulgarity, and I apologize.
I did. I heard that. Josh, would you like an apology?
I very much so.
Yeah?
I apologize.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See, I mean, we're getting closer by the moment, Earl.
No, we're not.
Okay.
Buffoon?
I think that's a good word, actually.
What have you... What? How many times are you going to golf this weekend while other Americans are sweating it out and putting a little work equity into the situation and you're golfing?
If you've watched
your liberal buddies, yeah. and you're writing your plans for the show next week about what talking points you're getting from the DFL, and it's all laughs and slaps on the back and cigars, and meanwhile, regular Americans. Like Earl McGuzzlekirk.
You quit.
Are sweating it out.
You quit. You're not contributing to the economy.
I do yard work, pal. I'm taking care of my house, doing my yard work. You don't know what that's about.
I might be mowing the lawn this weekend.
On a rider, I'm sure.
I'm very good with the rider. I'm very good. Earl, I have to go.
Of course you do.
Well, there's
you get put into a corner and you gotta, I'm losing the connection.
Yeah, we're losing you, Earl. We're losing you. Oh, we gotta hang up on you, Earl. Earl, checking in. I need to take a break to compose myself as Earl has assaulted me once again. As we approach our 100-year anniversary on WCCO. Major, in about 10 minutes, Chad Hartman, Josh Wheeler here, Dave back with us. Next week, okay, you know me, I'm Team Summer. I am absolutely positively Team Summer. It seems that this will be the last warm summer weekend. And for me, a warm summer weekend, you have to be upper 70s, lower 80s. We're going to have other nice ones, don't get me wrong. There'll be plenty of ones in the 60s that are beautiful. And even tomorrow, it looks like the weather might be a bit iffy compared to, like, today it's flawless up. If you like mid-80s, which I do, it's fantastic. Sign me up for this week. If we had 80s every day the rest of our lives, I would be eternally grateful. So I ask you this. If you could pick your spot where you could be for 2 days and it's the last warm weekend, where is your spot? Where is your spot? We have the majority of our audience listening in Minnesota. I get it, but we have plenty of people get texts. Hey, I'm listening in California, Arizona, Florida, out of the country occasionally. And we thank everybody for listening, including Earl. Earl, the occasional listener. Earl, by the way, called back the station line and said, He has no interest now in attending the CCO event, but he was asking about Carter's trip to Iceland. That's how far he wants to get away from me. Okay, so that's the end, the period on our conversation with Earl. You can pick any spot, and it's in the low to mid-80s, and you got that breeze going. You got about a 10 to 15-mile-an-hour breeze, Josh, and it's absolutely perfect. Golf is crushing my soul every single time. I don't know what has happened. I used to be adequate. I am now feeble and inept. It's over. So I'm not mentioning golf. That's out. Golf dead to me. Although I'm going to try again this weekend. And if it doesn't get better this weekend, I'm done for the year. I am done for the year because it's right now it is a bulldozer running me over every single moment of my existence on the golf course. Where do you want to be on our last warm, hot summer weekend? Wherever you might be. Okay. And by the way, it doesn't have to be Minnesota. It can be somewhere else. Josh Wheeler, you and the bride and friends, you by yourself, you with buddies, where do you want to be on back-to-back low to mid-80s days anywhere on the planet? Where do you want to be?
Give me a very iced up blue moon on the patio of Lord Fletcher's out in Lake Minnetonka.
Well, listen to you. I thought you were an everyday man. I thought you were, you know, middle class. No. With the Mar-a-Lago of the Twin Cities area, Lord Fletcher's. I mean, listen to the name. Lord Fletcher. Yeah. That's where you get. So you want a blue moon.
Mm-hmm.
You want the bride? You want buddies? You want a boat? Are you swimming?
All of the above. I'll take anything. Ideally, a group. Yes.
Ideally, a group.
Yes.
All right. Where do you want to be? Text away 651-461-9226. Lake Superior in Duluth on my uncle's yacht. I was overlooking Lake Superior last week when I briefly had moments where I thought I could figure out my game again. And Duluth and Lake Superior could not have looked more beautiful. As blue can be, la-di-da, when we were up there, a friend of mine has a good friend, and we stayed on this place on Lake Superior. Yes, la-di-da. It looked phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. So I'm so with you. I will stand by 60 and above. Duluth is the best city in the state of Minnesota. Texter, also regarding Duluth. Northland CC is like going to Scotland without going on a plane. That's 100% correct. It's 100%. Northland, as far as the golf experience, and you might know a buddy that can get you on, it might not be as manicured as Interlochen and Hazeltine and others, but it is the best experience in golf, and to me, second place isn't close just because the way you can play it, the beguiling greens, the stunning vision of Lake Superior, the change in elevation, what they've done to it. It is absolutely, this individual is 100% right. More. Carmel. Dead to me? Check yourself in. No, Carmel. When my mother bolted, my mother moved to Carmel. And I visited her, this when I'm fairly young, middle school and high school, and then traveled there a couple times. I think in the contiguous United States, there is no more beautiful place than Carmel. Nowhere. Now, if you got the dough and you can go to Carmel, if you really have the dough and you can go to Hawaii, Hawaii is perfection. Hawaii is hyped incessantly, and it lives up to every speck of the hype. But Carmel absolutely is amazing. Lake Roosevelt, Outing, Minnesota. I've never heard of Outing, Minnesota. Josh, can we Google it? Did I just fall for some trick? Outing, Minnesota. Have you heard of this?
I have not. It's just north of Emily, so right smack dab, almost in the middle of Minnesota.
Sounds fantastic. Yes. Chad, last warm weekend, Minnesota Renaissance Festival, hands down, give me a spinach pie, glass of mead, and some raunchy jugglers on a warm fall day, and I'm in heaven. There we go. Chad, I would be catching walleyes on Mille Lacs. Sounds great. At our cabin, Eagle Lake, of course. Bayfield, Wisconsin, La Jolla, all sorts of great selections. Keep them going. Well, maybe ask Major. I mean, he's speaking of La Jolla, Major, San Diego native, probably would go the same himself. If you could pick your destination, upper 70s, let's make it warmer, low 80s, mid 80s, and it's perfect for a weekend, where's your place? 651-461-9226. The fabulous Major Garrett, next. He is a San Diego snob, so maybe that is the key to this question I'm about to ask him. Major, on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Major, we have experienced just great weather here for the last 10 days, and maybe it's the last warm weekend for here, those of us in Minnesota. But we have plenty of people listening throughout the country also, and I said, if you could be anywhere for the last warm weekend, anywhere in the United States of America, where would you go? So for you, is it back to San Diego, or do you have another location in mind?
No, there is no other for me than San Diego. There just isn't. I mean, there are lots of wonderful places around the world. I've been fortunate enough to be to many of them, either for work or for pleasure, but San Diego is my home. So there's no better place for me than my home, San Diego.
Outside of San Diego, whether it was work or pleasure, the next most beautiful place you saw with your own eyes was?
Bermuda.
Bermuda. Yeah, it's pretty good.
I love Bermuda. I really, really do.
Bermuda does not care about you, though. I mean, I don't know if you realize that.
I know. I know. And I've ever been ever so briefly to Hawaii, Kona. That was gorgeous.
Yep.
Was there as part of a work trip covering President Clinton as he was making his way to Vietnam in 2000. That's a place I'd like to get back to. But I've been to Bermuda several times. The golf there is great. The swimming there is fantastic. Food is great. The British are very proper. It's got this kind of great pseudo-British vibe there. I am a big fan of Bermuda.
Let's jump in on the debate. Great deal of conversation about the moderators, when they stepped in, when they did not step in, fact-checking Donald Trump, not fact-checking Kamala Harris. We know Donald Trump can meander with the best of them in answering questions, but with Kamala Harris, there were three or four times she didn't even come close to answering the question. They did not follow up and say, would you like us to repeat the question? So many conservatives have been upset by it. We've even had utter nonsense the last 24 hours suggesting that ABC sent out sample questions to the Harris campaign, assured her they would not be fact-checking her. There's absolutely, positively, unequivocally no proof of that. It's not true, but go ahead and buy it. What were your thoughts about David Muir and Lindsay Davis and how they handled the debate?
So let's just do the fact-checking thing real quick. If you cannot fact-check an assertion from someone running for the presidency about infanticide in America, I ask you what you can't fact-check. I mean, come on. First of all, he said the governor of West Virginia, the former governor of West Virginia, it's wrong. Okay, he was trying to take a quote that has been analyzed and written about extensively for years about Ralph Northam, then governor of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
But whether he was talking about the potential for Infanta, he wasn't. It has been conflated aggressively by Trump, particularly almost no one else, but mostly by Trump. And it's not legal anywhere in America. If you can't fact check that kind of assertion, then there is no fact checking in real time or any other time. There's an FBI crime statistics debate that goes on. David Muir fact-checked the president about that, saying crime is going through the roof. Statistics of reported crimes, as measured by the FBI, there is a debate statistically and with criminologists about the expansiveness, how widespread that data reporting is. But most surveys from police departments, even those not included by the FBI, report crime trends down or static, not going through the roof. That's a fact check in real time. Here's the other thing that those who are upset about the debate don't seem to care about or value less because it doesn't fit their narrative. Trump got more time, 6 minutes or more time, because he kept bulldozing Lindsey Davis and David Muir. When his time was up, he kept going on, and they let him.
By the way, the individual who wanted the mics off
bypassed
that policy and put them in a unique spot, right? They were going to follow the rules, which the two campaigns had agreed to. And it's very easy for me to sit here and say, well, I would have said no. That's the former president of the United States. Right. That's the president, vice president. It's hard to just say, no, we're not going to let you talk.
Right. And when there was a particular point that Kamala Harris wanted to get back into and her time was up, they did not allow her to do it. They shut her down. Lindsey Davis shot her down, stopped her. But all of this, Chad, goes to something that we just have to understand. Trump will have this debate about the debate no matter how it comes out. It doesn't matter. He will find something to be aggravated about even if he wins the debate or if it's close.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And this goes to something that I think everyone in the Harris campaign and everyone who wishes that campaign well better focus on. And I experienced this a week before the debate when I was in three different cities in Michigan. Trump's support is resilient and real.
Yep.
People who support Trump have been through a lot. They've had plenty of reasons to get off the bus. They're not getting off the bus. I'm not saying it's a majority of this country, but it's a not insignificant statistical majority of 47 to 48%, which means it's real, it's resilient, it's not budging. And you have to find a way to get to 49, 50, or 51. And don't think that a debate performance is going to suddenly make that job any easier. Internal polls, I'm told, in the possession of the Harris campaign in swing states show even or a slight Trump bump from this debate, even though they think they won it, even though many of the survey responders think Harris won it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
So what this country has to come to grips with is, even when he says dogs and cats, and we can get into that if you want to, a completely fantastical, idiotic thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
It resonates at a certain level because it identifies an issue that people want to hear about, immigration. So they give him credit for that, and they don't take any points away from him or shed their support because he blew it in such a spectacular, comedic, unintentionally comedic way. So the campaign is still close. Can it break? Yes, theoretically, but it's still very close. And the debate may have, strangely, even among people who think Harris won, picked up a point or two for Trump.
So I just want to follow up on the non-follow-ups. When you have a candidate like the vice president, who during her time as the vice president is known to give a lot of word salad answers,
mm-hmm.
then when she comes in to a campaign in such an extraordinary way, then she is only involved in one other interview with Dana Bash with Governor Tim Walz. When mm-hmm. there are three or four times when she does what plenty of politicians do, bypass the question and turn it into an attack towards her opponent,
mm-hmm.
I do think if you're going to fact check, this was ample opportunity
yep.
for Muir and Davis to say, Madam Vice President, you didn't come close to saying, are we better now than we were 4 years
yep.
ago? You didn't
right.
say anything about if you could go back in time on immigration. You said nothing about what you would change in Afghanistan. I really thought, knowing the climate, that it was incumbent mm-hmm. upon them one or two times to do that.
Agreed. And without question, the weakest part of the debate was the first question and her answer.
Yeah. Nervous.
Very nervous. And talk about a word salad. It was full of a lot of gussied up words, opportunity economy, and this and that, and I have a plan, and I have a plan, and I have a plan. Wait a minute. That's not the question. I know the question makes you uncomfortable, because you have to revisit something in which you know people don't like, and you have to recontextualize that, but let's try to drill down. But even sometimes, and this is where, and I've been on the stage three times, not in a general election, but three times in a primary, it's always a toggling switch, and you don't know which way to toggle it.
Yeah,
you
it's
really
hard.
Don't.
Yeah,
it's very hard because there is something that is conveyed by a non-answer to a central question, especially the first one. And if I've talked to people who only watch the first 20 minutes.
Sure.
So the first 20 minutes, the first 3 minutes, were Harris struggling with that very direct question: are we better off than we were 4 years ago? That's what your opponent says. What's your answer? So that might not have been a winning debate for Kamala Harris if that's all people saw, or if that's most of what they saw. You know? So, sometimes that hard question and the non-answer is all the public needs to see, because the vice president had an opportunity to recharacterize or recontextualize that question, and the foundation beneath it didn't do it. So for someone who's eager for an answer to that question, that probably leaves them dissatisfied. So does the moderator go back to that well a second time? Maybe yes, maybe no. It's always a hard thing.
Yep.
My larger takeaway when it's Trump, he only complains about the moderators if he thinks he lost.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And he said that about other people complaining about things.
Right.
You know, you're only complaining because you're a loser.
Yeah. Often.
Blame the refs. Well, what about your performance?
Yes, that's so true. Because often the words he uses on others is truly how he feels about a situation if he's in that position. Okay, I want to get to Joe Biden, who, by the way, still is president of the United States, and what we're going to do with weaponry.
And knows he's alive, by the way.
Yeah, in Ukraine. Yes, he is. And he's not eating dogs in Springfield. Yes or no, will we have another debate? What do you think?
Trump says no. And because the polling data so far has not moved perceptibly against him, he probably won't. If the polling data starts to shift in any way, making him farther behind nationally and farther behind in battleground states, he'll have to agree to it.
Next time we see each other, I will bet you a nice dinner there will be another debate. I just think, and your polling is accurate, I just think his ego is going to say, I want another opportunity. Okay. What is Joe Biden, the president of the United States, going to do about potentially lifting restrictions on U.S.-provided long-range weapon systems and allowing Zelensky and Ukraine to continue to strike deep targets inside Russia, but this time American and Western-driven that can be even more effective? You've had people who have been for this for a long time, more Republicans speaking out about it, even some Democrats open-minded. What does Biden do on this really important issue regarding this war that continues to rage on?
I don't know. What I do know is lines that were uncrossable have been crossed.
Many times, right?
Things that the administration said, no, we're not going to do that. We don't want to do that. We don't want to provoke this or that, particularly in any use of tactical battlefield nuclear weapons, which, as we've discussed before, we should always remind ourselves, are part of Russia's playbook. They've, in ways that we don't countenance and say we have the opportunity and we have battle plans to use battlefield nuclear weapons. We don't, but the Russians do. That's why we've always been nervous about that. And things that we didn't even want that to be on the table, we weren't going to do, then we've done. Allowed some strikes in Russia. Allowed our military weaponry for this or that. Patriot anti-missile system. Things. So all I know is the progression has been to agree to do things that when this war started, we did not agree to do. And there's a very hard calculus here. Would this green light fundamentally change things and change things in a way to provoke a serious dialogue about ending this war and ending it on terms that the Ukrainians can find acceptable? And if that's not all territory given back to them, what territory remains in Russian hands and under what conditions, and what is a kind of international peacekeeping force or supervisory force to make sure that this doesn't happen again. All mm-hmm. those are details that have to be hashed out. Hard to do at the negotiating table, but certainly doable if both sides want to. And would a green light now on this particular set of military questions force Russia to do something it has so far been unwilling and uninterested in doing, which is negotiating an end to this slaughterhouse of a war in Ukraine?
Just a massively important topic to keep watching. Fabulous as always, sir. Thank you very much for coming on. Have a great weekend. We'll talk next week.
Great.
Major Garrett, CBS, The Takeout. He's the best. We're lucky to have him on. It's 52 past 12. Each time we bring this up about whether another debate is going to take place, people ask about a VP debate. Yes, that's set. October 1st, CBS, I believe CBS. I should ask Major, but I'm 99% certain. Walt and Vance, Josh is in charge. Harrigan back next week. Do we have a bumper music theme today, Josh Wheeler?
It is Friday the 13th, so yep. It's all related to bad luck and just not having the best day. And some people are having a great day. It's a beautiful Friday, so kind of a morbid touch to today.
I'm glad you brought that up because I'm going to bring that up to Shaletta. I think Friday the 13th is utter nonsense, and people worrying about it is utter nonsense. However, many people adamantly disagree, are afraid of it, are staying home, and are concerned. I'm not one of them. But we'll get to that with Feisty Friday. Many topics for the – I don't know if she's told anybody she won an Emmy. She's reluctant to talk about herself. I'll have to drag it out. You know, she really defers to others and doesn't want to draw any attention towards herself. That is our gal, Shaletta. A reminder, your Linda's Construction time check is 12:56. It's time to invest in GAF solar roofing and receive 75% off installation labor. So Shaletta's at 105, then Jeff Mitrot, who's a part of the team from the Star Tribune, who wrote about the atrocious results regarding charter schools. Not the first time it's come up, far from the first time, but again, it is startling at the numbers and the ineptitude in a number of these schools. Jeff's at 135, Matthew Collar's at 205, and DeRusha, he's going to join us 2:35 here on CCO.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. you remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We got a lot going on. We're wheeling and dealing. And I'm just finishing up the tweet. My name is Jihad Hartman. What's your name? Josh Wheeler? Josh,
yes,
what's your middle name?
Paul.
Paul. Are you named after someone, Paul?
I'm assuming just biblical.
Paul. Biblical? Yeah. Sure. Well, I mean, you're comparing yourself to a biblical figure. That's impressive.
Yeah.
What do we have today? I'm trying to type this out here. We got
Star-studded Friday cast.
Have you heard of Major Garrett?
I have.
Yes, Major Garrett. Man, I should have finished this. And now, see, the reason why I didn't finish this is I get a text, not a text, but I get a phone call at work from Earl saying that he wants to come on, and I thought we were done with Earl. I really did. He's an individual who doesn't like the show. I could have swore the last time we talked to him that he swore us off. But he left a voicemail. I need to talk to you. And by the way, boom, I just put the tweet out. At Chad Hartman Show. A true professional would have finished that earlier. But we're trying to secure one more guest. Have you ever heard Earl on the show before, Jeff?
I have not. This is my first time.
Yeah, I don't know if you're going to care for much because he doesn't care for me. And he's certainly allowed to have that opinion, but I don't know why he continues to call the show. So let's punch him up. Earl, would you tell me your last name this time? Would that be possible? Because most of, like, we're going to bring on a guy named Major Garrett, Shaletta Brundage, Matthew Collar, Jason DeRussia. I just know you as Earl. Would you share your last name?
It's McGuzzlekirk.
Excuse me?
McGuzzlekirk.
McGuzzlekirk. Earl?
Yeah.
McGuzzlekirk. Is there any story to that last name at all?
It's Dutch Scottish. That's about all I know. I've did the Life 360, the 23andMe, and it's Scottish Highlands, part Dutch.
I wouldn't think you're the type of guy who would do the 23andMe, Earl. They can get very invasive.
Cut the crap. Can I talk while I'm on the air here today?
Yeah, I guess. Go ahead, of course.
100 years that station's been on the air. Is that correct? You got 100 anniversary celebration coming up?
Are you coming? October 21st, Chanhassen Dinner Theater. We'd love to have you there.
If they fire you today, I'll purchase a table. How about that?
I don't think that's going to happen. I really don't want to be fired either. Isn't that a bit mean? Isn't that a bit over the top to say I should be fired today?
Point being is 100 years of a historical radio station that I hear every day and I want to give it another shot. I want to listen so badly and then I tune in and you, every gal darn day, just the same crap and I can't do it. I can't do it anymore. I couldn't do it before, and I tried it again, and I can't do it. What the hell is the matter with you?
Well, that is a good question. And I tell my therapist often, I'm not sure I can tell you what...
Typical.
Well, typical. What do you think is wrong with me?
Oh, if I had the answer to that, I'll start with your liberalism. Let's start there. I mean, that's is as obvious as the day is the sun shining on a day.
Mm-hmm.
B, your attitude. You know, everybody's wrong. You're right. You know, that's not the CCO that I know, that I like.
Do you hear other shows on the station which you prefer?
Yeah, all of them other than you.
Mm. So is your normal routine to listen to Vanita and Adam and Jordana? Do you ever sample me? Or was it just a recent time where the radio was left on or what happened and then you go back to Jason DeRusha, Henry Lake, the Twins, et cetera?
I listen to the Twins. I dabble, I don't commit. I avoid noon to three.
Well, it sounded like you were about to say you avoid 9 to noon. Is that a show that you don't care for either?
Don't get me started. Oh, God. There's a lot of it, but I think you're the instigator. I think you're like the wedge that into the door that broke open the door to unabashed, rampant liberalism in this, not only in the at the station, but probably the state.
That'd be a lot of power if I had that. But you have heard me criticize Vice President Harris frequently, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, tough. Getting real tough on her. Oh, yeah, okay.
What did you think of President Trump the other day in the debate when he started talking about...
What did he lie about?
Well,
first of all...
Can I give you an example? Do you really think in Springfield, Ohio, that Haitian immigrants are capturing, kidnapping, and eating cats and dogs? You really think that's happening?
I got a cousin in Springfield who is missing a cat.
Okay. You know cats sometimes vanish, don't you?
This cat is as dedicated as an animal as I've ever seen.
What's the cat's name?
Look, I don't know. I don't give two craps about the cat's name. All I know is the cat's gone, and it's disappeared. And if you want to get your talking points at the start of the day and say, okay, just say it's fake, that doesn't happen, I talk to real people. Who do you talk to?
Real people.
Major Garrett? Oh, yeah, he's objective. He's got the card and probably in the wallet saying I'm a member of the Democratic Party.
How about Shaletta? She's a real person, right?
What does she have to do with this?
Well, you're talking about people I talk to. I'm going to talk to Shaletta at 105.
Does she know people in Springfield like I do? Does she have a relative that's missing an animal?
You don't even know the cat's name. I don't even think you care about the cat. What do you think of that?
Well, personally, I don't care for cats, but that's beside the point, is that if somebody who has a cat and likes the cat disappears, what the hell is going on?
They're not cooking him for an appetizer. It's not happening.
I know people. It's true. That's all I need to know.
Of course you do.
And anyway, you know Kamala was getting the questions ahead of time. She had the earring that acted as the speaker. And you'll cover for it until the day is long. And one day I'm going to turn into this radio station and somebody will be telling the truth.
What are you doing,
my friend?
What are you doing this weekend?
Working. You should look into it.
What do you do for a living again, Earl? I think you might have told me before, but I don't.
Well, I'm retired. I worked. I'm retired now. I worked as a school bus driver for a while.
Thank you. That's very nice.
I was in millwork, cabinetry. A man of a lot of different skills.
I could use a little carpentry work. My handyman is fairly busy. Is this a way where we could come together? Because I don't have much skill in that area. I'll admit, my man card in fixing things around the house is fairly low T.
Yeah, this is my shack face, too. Look, if I was still in the business, business is business. I don't care who I'm working for. I'd have done the job, but I'm retired. I moved on.
Earl, did you meet Josh, by the way, our fill-in producer today?
I apologize. I screamed at him when he answered the phone. I said, get me on the air, and I might have used a vulgarity, and I apologize.
I did. I heard that. Josh, would you like an apology?
I very much so.
Yeah?
I apologize.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See, I mean, we're getting closer by the moment, Earl.
No, we're not.
Okay.
Buffoon?
I think that's a good word, actually.
What have you... What? How many times are you going to golf this weekend while other Americans are sweating it out and putting a little work equity into the situation and you're golfing?
If you've watched
your liberal buddies... Yeah. And you're writing your plans for the show next week about what talking points you're getting from the DFL, and it's all laughs and slaps on the back and cigars. And meanwhile, regular Americans like Earl McGuzzlekirk,
you quit,
are sweating it out.
You quit. You're not contributing to the economy.
I do yard work, pal. I'm taking care of my house, doing my yard work. You don't know what that's about.
I might be mowing the lawn this weekend.
On a rider, I'm sure.
I'm very good with the rider. I'm very good. Earl, I have to go.
Of course you do.
Well, there's
you get put in a corner and you got to, Earl, I'm losing the connection.
Yeah, we're losing you, Earl. We're losing you. Oh! We got to hang up on you, Earl. Earl, checking in. I need to take a break to compose myself as Earl has assaulted me once again. As we approach our 100-year anniversary on WCCO. Major, in about 10 minutes, Chad Hartman, Josh Wheeler here, Dave back with us next week. Okay, you know me. I'm Team Summer. I am absolutely positively Team Summer. It seems that this will be the last warm summer weekend. And for me, a warm summer weekend, you have to be upper 70s, lower 80s. We're going to have other nice ones. Don't get me wrong. There'll be plenty of ones in the 60s that are beautiful. And even tomorrow, it looks like the weather might be a bit iffy compared to, like, today. It's flawless up. If you like mid-80s, which I do, it's fantastic. Sign me up for this week. If we had 80s every day the rest of our lives, I would be eternally grateful. So I ask you this. If you could pick your spot where you could be for 2 days, and it's the last warm weekend, where is your spot? Where is your spot? We have the majority of our audience listening in Minnesota. I get it, but we have plenty of people get texts. Hey, I'm listening in California, Arizona, Florida, out of the country occasionally. And we thank everybody for listening, including Earl. Earl, the occasional listener. Earl, by the way, called back the station line and said he has no interest now in attending the CCO event, but he was asking about Carter's trip to Iceland. That's how far he wants to get away from me. Okay, so that's the end, the period on our conversation with Earl. You can pick any spot, and it's in the low to mid-80s, and you got that breeze going. You got about a 10 to 15 mile-an-hour breeze, Josh, and it's absolutely perfect. Golf is crushing my soul every single time. I don't know what has happened. I used to be adequate. I am now feeble and inept. It's over. So I'm not mentioning golf. That's out. Golf dead to me. Although I'm going to try again this weekend. And if it doesn't get better this weekend, I'm done for the year. I am done for the year because it's right now it is a bulldozer running me over every single moment of my existence on the golf course. Where do you want to be on our last warm, hot summer weekend? Wherever you might be. Okay? And by the way, it doesn't have to be Minnesota. It can be somewhere else. Josh Wheeler, you and the bride, you and the bride and friends, you by yourself, you with buddies, where do you want to be on back-to-back, low-to-mid-80s days, anywhere on the planet? Where do you want to be?
Give me a very iced-up blue moon on the patio of Lord Fletcher's out in Lake Minnetonka.
Well, listen to you. I thought you were an everyday man. I thought you were, you know, middle class. No. With the Mar-a-Lago of the Twin Cities area, Lord Fletcher's. I mean, listen to the name. Lord Fletcher. Yeah. That's where you get. So you want a blue moon.
Mm-hmm.
You want the bride. You want buddies. You want a boat. Are you swimming?
All of the above. I'll take anything. Ideally, a group. Yes.
Ideally, a group.
Yes.
All right. Where do you want to be? Text away 651-461-9226. Lake Superior in Duluth on my uncle's yacht. I was overlooking Lake Superior last week when I briefly had moments where I thought I could figure out my game again. And Duluth and Lake Superior could not have looked more beautiful. As blue can be, la-di-da, when we were up there, a friend of mine has a good friend, and we stayed on this place on Lake Superior. Yes, la-di-da. It looked phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. So I'm so with you. I will stand by. 60 and above, Duluth is the best city in the state of Minnesota. Texter, also regarding Duluth. Northland CC is like going to Scotland without going on a plane. That's 100% correct. It's 100%. Northland, as far as the golf experience, and you might know a buddy that can get you on. It might not be as manicured as Interlochen and Hazeltine and others, but it is the best experience in golf. And to me, second place isn't close just because the way you can play it, the beguiling greens, the stunning vision of Lake Superior, the change in elevation, what they've done to it. It is absolutely. This individual is 100% right. More. Carmel. Dead to me? Check yourself in. No, Carmel. When my mother bolted, my mother moved to Carmel. And I visited her, this when I'm fairly young, middle school and high school, and then traveled there a couple times. I think in the contiguous United States, there is no more beautiful place than Carmel. Nowhere. Now, if you got the dough and you can go to Carmel, if you really have the dough and you can go to Hawaii, Hawaii is perfection. Hawaii is hyped incessantly, and it lives up to every speck of the hype. But Carmel absolutely is amazing. Lake Roosevelt, Outing, Minnesota. I've never heard of Outing, Minnesota. Josh, can we Google it? Did I just fall for some trick? Outing, Minnesota. Have you heard of this?
I have not. It's just north of Emily, so right smack dab, almost in the middle of Minnesota.
Sounds fantastic. Yes. Chad, last warm weekend, Minnesota Renaissance Festival. Hands down, give me a spinach pie, glass of mead and some raunchy jugglers on a warm fall day, and I'm in heaven. There we go. Chad, I would be catching walleyes on Mille Lacs. Sounds great. At our cabin, Eagle Lake, of course. Bayfield, Wisconsin. La Jolla. All sorts of great selections. Keep them going. Well, maybe ask Major. I mean, he's speaking of La Jolla. Major, San Diego native, probably would go the same himself. If you could pick your destination, upper 70s, let's make it warmer, low 80s, mid-80s, and it's perfect for a weekend, where's your place? 651-461-9226. the fabulous Major Garrett next. He is a San Diego snob, so maybe that is the key to this question I'm about to ask him, Major, on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Major, we have experienced just great weather here for the last 10 days, and maybe it's the last warm weekend for here, those of us in Minnesota. But we have plenty of people listening throughout the country also, and I said, if you could be anywhere for the last warm weekend, anywhere in the United States of America, where would you go? So for you, is it back to San Diego, or do you have another location in mind?
No, there is no other for me than San Diego. There just isn't. I mean, there are lots of wonderful places around the world. I've been fortunate enough to be to many of them, either for work or for pleasure. But San Diego is my home. So there's no better place for me than my home, San Diego.
Outside of San Diego, whether it was work or pleasure, the next most beautiful place you saw with your own eyes was?
Bermuda.
Bermuda. Yeah, it's pretty good.
I love Bermuda. I really, really do.
Bermuda does not care about you. Well, I mean, I don't know if you realize
that. I know. And I've ever been ever so briefly to Hawaii, Kona. That was gorgeous.
Yep.
Was there as part of a work trip covering President Clinton as he was making his way to Vietnam in 2000. That's a place I'd like to get back to. But I've been to Bermuda several times. The golf there is great. The swimming there is fantastic. Food is great. The British are very proper. It's got this kind of great pseudo-British vibe there. I am a big fan of Bermuda.
Let's jump in on the debate. Great deal of conversation about the moderators, when they stepped in, when they did not step in, fact-checking Donald Trump, not fact-checking Kamala Harris. We know Donald Trump can meander with the best of them in answering questions, but with Kamala Harris, there were three or four times she didn't even come close to answering the question. They did not follow up and say, would you like us to repeat the question? So many conservatives have been upset by it. We've even had utter nonsense the last 24 hours suggesting that ABC sent out sample questions to the Harris campaign, assured her they would not be fact-checking her. There's absolutely, positively, unequivocally no proof of that. It's not true, but go ahead and buy it. What were your thoughts about David Muir and Lindsay Davis and how they handled the debate?
So let's just do the fact-checking thing real quick. If you cannot fact-check an assertion from someone running for the presidency about infanticide in America, I ask you what you can't fact-check. I mean, come on. First of all, he said the governor of West Virginia, the former governor of West Virginia, it's wrong. Okay, he was trying to take a quote that has been analyzed and written about extensively for years about Ralph Northam, then governor of Virginia, but whether he was talking about the potential for infanticide, he wasn't. It has been conflated aggressively by Trump, particularly almost no one else, but mostly by Trump. And it's not legal anywhere in America. If you can't fact check that kind of assertion, then there is no fact checking in real time or any other time. There's an FBI crime statistics debate that goes on. David Muir fact-checked the president about that, saying crime is going through the roof. Statistics of reported crimes, as measured by the FBI, there is a debate statistically and with criminologists about the expansiveness, how widespread that data reporting is. But most surveys from police departments, even those not included by the FBI, report crime trends down or static, not going through the roof. That's a fact check in real time. Here's the other thing that those who are upset about the debate don't seem to care about or value less because it doesn't fit their narrative. Trump got more time, 6 minutes or more time, because he kept bulldozing Lindsay Davis and David Muir. When his time was up, he kept going on, and they let him.
By the way, the individual who wanted the mics off bypassed that policy and put them in a unique spot, right? They were going to follow the rules which the two campaigns had agreed to. And it's very easy for me to sit here and say, well, I would have said no. That's the former president of the United States. Right. That's the president, right. Vice president. It's hard to just say, no, we're not going to let you talk.
Right. And when there was a particular point that Kamala Harris wanted to get back into and her time was up, they did not allow her to do it. They shut her down. Lindsey Davis shot her down, stopped her. But all of this, Chad, goes to something that we just have to understand. Trump will have this debate about the debate no matter how it comes out. It doesn't matter. He will find something to be aggravated about, even if he wins the debate or if it's close.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And this goes to something that I think everyone in the Harris campaign and everyone who wishes that campaign well better focus on. And I experienced this a week before the debate when I was in three different cities in Michigan. Trump's support is resilient and real.
Yep.
People who support Trump have been through a lot. They've had plenty of reasons to get off the bus. They're not getting off the bus. I'm not saying it's a majority of this country, but it's a not insignificant statistical majority of 47% to 48%, which means it's real, it's resilient, it's not budging. And you have to find a way to get to 49, 50, or 51. And don't think that a debate performance is going to suddenly make that job any easier. Internal polls, I'm told, in the possession of the Harris campaign in swing states show even or a slight Trump bump from this debate, even though they think they won it, even though many of the survey responders think Harris won it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
So what this country has to come to grips with is, even when he says dogs and cats, and we can get into that if you want to, a completely fantastical, idiotic thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
It resonates at a certain level because it identifies an issue that people want to hear about, immigration. So they give him credit for that, and they don't take any points away from him or shed their support because he blew it in such a spectacular, comedic, unintentionally comedic way. So the campaign is still close. Can it break? Yes, theoretically, but it's still very close. And the debate may have, strangely, even among people who think Harris won, picked up a point or two for Trump.
So I just want to follow up on the non-follow-ups. When you have a candidate like the vice president who during her time as the vice president is known to give a lot of word salad answers,
mm-hmm.
then when she comes in to a campaign in such an extraordinary way, then she is only involved in one other interview with Dana Bash with Governor Tim Walz. When mm-hmm. there are three or four times when she does what plenty of politicians do, bypass the question and turn it into an attack towards her opponent,
mm-hmm.
I do think if you're going to fact check, this was ample opportunity
yep.
for Muir and Davis to say, Madam Vice President, you didn't come close to saying, are we better now than we were 4 years
yep.
ago? You didn't right. say anything about if you could go back in time on immigration. You said nothing about what you would change in Afghanistan. I really thought, knowing the climate, that it was incumbent mm-hmm. upon them one or two times to do that.
Agreed. And without question, the weakest part of the debate was the first question and her answer.
Yeah. Nervous.
Very nervous. And talk about a word salad. It was full of a lot of gussied up words, opportunity economy, and this and that, and I have a plan. Wait a minute. That's not the question. I know the question makes you uncomfortable because you have to revisit something in which you know people don't like, and you have to recontextualize that, but let's try to drill down. But even sometimes, and this is where, and I've been on the stage three times, not yep. in a general election, but three times in a primary. It's always a toggling switch, and you don't know which way to toggle it.
Yeah,
you
it's
really
hard.
Don't.
Yeah.
It's very hard because there is something that is conveyed by a non-answer to a central question, especially the first one. And I've talked to people who only watched the first 20 minutes.
Sure.
So the first 20 minutes, the first 3 minutes were Harris struggling with that very direct question. Are we better off than we were 4 years ago? That's what your opponent says. What's your answer? So that might not have been a winning debate for Kamala Harris if that's all people saw or if that's most of what they saw. You know? So, for A, sometimes that hard question and the non-answer is all the public needs to see, because the vice president had an opportunity to recharacterize or recontextualize that question and the foundation beneath it. Didn't do it. So for someone who's eager for an answer to that question, that probably leaves them dissatisfied. So does the moderator go back to that well a second time? Maybe yes, maybe no. It's always a hard thing.
Yep.
My larger takeaway when it's Trump, he only complains about the moderators if he thinks he lost.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And he said that about other people complaining about things.
Right.
You know, you're only complaining because you're a loser.
Yeah. Often.
Blame the refs. Well, what about your performance?
Yes, that's so true. Because often the words he uses on others is truly how he feels about a situation if he's in that position. Okay, I want to get to Joe Biden, who, by the way, still is president of the United States, and what we're going to do with weaponry.
And knows he's alive, by the way.
Yeah, in Ukraine. Yes, he is. And he's not eating dogs in Springfield. Yes or no, will we have another debate? What do you think?
Trump says no. And because the polling data so far has not moved perceptibly against him, he probably won't. If the polling data starts to shift in any way, making him farther behind nationally and farther behind in battleground states, he'll have to agree to it.
Next time we see each other, I will bet you a nice dinner there will be another debate. I just think, and your polling is accurate, I just think his ego is going to say, I want another opportunity. Okay. What is Joe Biden, the president of the United States, going to do about potentially lifting restrictions on U.S.-provided long-range weapon systems and allowing Zelensky and Ukraine to continue to strike deep targets inside Russia, but this time American and Western-driven that can be even more effective? You've had people who've been for this for a long time, more Republicans speaking out about it, even some Democrats open-minded. What does Biden do on this really important issue regarding this war that continues to rage on?
I don't know. What I do know is lines that were uncrossable have been crossed.
Many times, right?
Things that the administration said, no, we're not going to do that. We don't want to do that. We don't want to provoke this or that, particularly in any use of tactical battlefield nuclear weapons, which, as we've discussed before, we should always remind ourselves, are part of Russia's playbook. They've, in ways that we don't countenance and say we have the opportunity and we have battle plans to use battlefield nuclear weapons. We don't, but the Russians do. That's why we've always been nervous about that. And things that we didn't even want that to be on the table, we weren't going to do, then we've done. Allowed some strikes in Russia. Allowed our military weaponry for this or that, Patriot anti-missile system things. So all I know is the progression has been to agree to do things that when this war started, we did not agree to do. And there's a very hard calculus here. Would this green light fundamentally change things and change things in a way to provoke a serious dialogue about ending this war and ending it on terms that the Ukrainians can find acceptable? And if that's not all territory given back to them, what territory remains in Russian hands and under what conditions? And what is a kind of international peacekeeping force or supervisory force to make sure that this doesn't happen again? All those are details that have to be hashed out. Hard to do at the negotiating table, but certainly doable if both sides want to. And would a green light now on this particular set of military questions force Russia to do something it has so far been unwilling and uninterested in doing, which is negotiating an end to this slaughterhouse of a war in Ukraine?
Just a massively important topic to keep watching. Fabulous as always, sir. Thank you very much for coming on. Have a great weekend. We'll talk next week.
Great.
Major Garrett, CBS, The Takeout. He's the best. We're lucky to have him on. It's 52 past 12. Each time we bring this up about whether another debate is going to take place, people ask about a VP debate. Yes, that's set. October 1st, CBS, I believe CBS, I should ask Major, but I'm 99% certain, Walt and Vance. Josh is in charge. Harrigan back next week. Do we have a bumper music theme today, Josh Wheeler?
It is Friday the 13th, so yep. It's all related to bad luck and just not having the best day, and some people are having a great day. It's a beautiful Friday, so kind of a morbid touch to today.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm going to bring that up to Shaletta. I think Friday the 13th is utter nonsense, and people worrying about it is utter nonsense. However, many people adamantly disagree, are afraid of it, are staying home, and are concerned. I'm not one of them. But we'll get to that with Feisty Friday. Many topics for the – I don't know if she's told anybody she won an Emmy. She's reluctant to talk about herself. I'll have to drag it out. You know, she really defers to others and doesn't want to draw any attention towards herself. That is our gal, Shaletta. A reminder, your Linda's Construction time check is 12:56. It's time to invest in GAF solar roofing and receive 75% off installation labor. So Shaletta's at 105, then Jeff Mitrot, who's a part of the team from the Star Tribune, who wrote about the atrocious results regarding charter schools. Not the first time it's come up, far from the first time, but again, it is startling at the numbers and the ineptitude in a number of these schools. Jeff's at 135, Matthew Collar's at 205, and DeRusha, he's going to join us 235 here on CCO.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Lil' Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Lil' Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.